Thank you very much indeed for downloading the podcast. This week my guest was the new music director of the Royal Ballet, Koen Kessels. Well, my guest in the Culture Club this afternoon is the new music director of the Royal Ballet, Koen Kessels. Welcome, Koen. It's really good to have you here. Now, I know that you started off as a concert pianist. You trained at the Antwerp Conservatorium. And I'm intrigued by that journey that you've made from being a pianist to music director of the Royal Ballet. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, yes, it's absolutely has been a thrilling adventure. I wanted to be, first of all, a pianist was a dream from very young. And then being in the situation in the conservatoire, I said, okay, there are so many thousands and thousands of pianists who play the same repertoire before. It's more from this negative kind of feeling. And I was also, the more positive thing is that I wanted to be an architect. And but I had chosen to start off as being a pianist. And when there was a position free in an opera house, I did there, I can combine everything. Then I can go and see the sets. I can look into all the secrets of an opera house and into being intrigued by opera at the time already. And so I started off as a pianist in the opera house in Brussels. And I was 22, so there it started. And I didn't leave it anymore to work in a theater. And from there, of course, being a pianist, I still remember this was with Gérard Mortier, who led it, and afterwards Paris and Salzburg. So, but you're getting in. Why do you want to be a pianist in an opera house? Do you want to conduct? No, please, no. There's nothing to do. They want to work with singers. But working in opera house, of course, it's clear. Suddenly there are two singers behind. You have to do some stage bands, some stage yes. choruses. And I started kind of conducting, and there was a position free in Antwerp for assistant conductor. And so they hired me then for being assistant conductor. And there in Antwerp, they asked me at a certain point, the music director is not free for doing ballet. Would you like to do a ballet? I said, of course, this would be great. And my first big piece was Cinderella Prokofiev.
Oh, wonderful.
And then they hired me in for doing some rehearsals with the orchestra, of course. I remember still my first big experience with an orchestra was Parsifal. It was in front. So I didn't learn conducting. It's really from the inside, from in an opera house, working in an opera house, being trained. And I must say I had wonderful masters in that occasion who really visioned me, who came to rehearsals, who gave comments, who saw that, and in a way I was doing not too bad to survive in the opera house, and who trained me, you know, in a way. So from that on, it went on and on and on, and then I had an offer from Paris. I was from Paris, from the opera house there, to come and do a ballet, and then it started off more internationally. And I had done before, like occasionally, a Carmen in Rouen. I did Rossini. I did quite many things, but I was not really in an agency. And it started off really well, in a better way, constructed way, when they hired me in Paris.
That's a fascinating journey and a progression from being a pianist. Now, I want to talk to you about Romeo and Juliet and that fantastic Prokofiev score, because I think that's going to be the first ballet that you'll be conducting, having taken on this new role of music director.
Absolutely.
But first, let's hear the delightful extract, Juliet as a Young Girl, from Romeo and Juliet. Juliet as a Young Girl from the ballet Romeo and Juliet by Sergei Prokofiev. The London Symphony Orchestra was conducted by Valery Gergiev. This is Classic FM, and my guest on the Culture Club this afternoon is Koen Kessels, the new music director of the Royal Ballet. Koen, can we talk about Romeo and Juliet? It's an iconic ballet, isn't it, with this wonderfully emotional score. It was actually the very first ballet that I went to see, and I was so transfixed by it. It was Anthony Dowell and Gelsey Kirkland, who were superb together. And that memory has stayed with me. I think it's one of the most wonderful things artistically that I have ever seen. It is a tremendous work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of these icons, I must say. As I already said, my first was Cinderella. And to get to Prokofiev being a ballet composer, I think he understood so incredibly well the narrative technique to work together with the choreographer and to make it happen, that it's in timing an incredible way. He doesn't make any concession on the music and does find the way in the middle of the demands of a choreographer. And I think as a public, but also as dancers, also as musicians, you can feel that from the first note to the last one. In fact, you shouldn't change anything to have the real drama made by a composer. It's one of these marvelous scores for orchestra to play, and with this dramatic, incredible dramatic feeling.
Is it particularly difficult to conduct, or it seems to me that it's so iconic, it has a kind of weight of history on its shoulders, as it were. Is it difficult to put your own interpretation on it? Of course, obviously you do, but...
Let's say there are two ways to explain this. There's first of all the musician way, and then there is the ballet conductor way. As a musician, I'm sure it's a very clear score from the point of view of getting into it from the score. There are incredible amounts of details where, as a conductor and a musician to approach, there is an easy guideline to follow, and then, of course, it's the experience of getting in your own way and then to find your own way in it. As a ballet conductor, you're getting into especially this production now. Of course, it's made in 64, I think. That's where it was the first time.
Yes.
And it's a fantastic way of also dealing with the score. I think Kenny McMillan understood incredibly well this score. And I'm listening at the moment to even an older version from 84 that was suggested to me to listen, as this was still when Kenny McMillan was in charge, and in charge especially of the official video. So, and from there, as I know the piece, I did two versions before. One nearly based on the Roger Svensky version and conducting, and another one where I had to do a mixture in between Lorin Maazel and Valery Gergiev, where I said to the choreographer, this is really difficult task to find a way into the middle of those two complete different ways.
Yes.
But it was a very strong choreography, so I could find in a way. But I must say, also working now on the score that I know very well, but getting into the version that is proposed to me to do here, of course, with the Kenneth McMillan version, it's a tremendous way of dealing with the score, as he understood it so well. And that's then an easy task for a conductor.
Yes.
Getting into this, I say, very short way of tempi, where we have to struggle. And of course, 3 weeks in the studio working with the dancers to see where are their particular ways of doing it. And then the flexibility is, of course, very big. I saw there's so many ways of doing it, and there's so many ways of getting into it, but must suit with the dance. But that's the studio work with the piano around that makes that possible.
I'd like to go on to some other music now, and we've chosen an extract from The Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky, again, another iconic ballet. And let's hear the march from The Nutcracker. March from The Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky. The Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra was conducted by Vasily Petrenko. You're listening to Classic FM, and I'm joined by the new music director of the Royal Ballet, Koen Kessels. Koen, you made your Royal Ballet debut in 2008 conducting that ballet. It's much loved. What are your thoughts about it? Is it one of your favourites?
Yeah, it's an incredible score. I did read, I do always kind of research on the pieces, and Tchaikovsky did do a proofreading himself of 3 months. And you can feel with that score that it's like not one note, it's like a Mozart score, that is too much. With Swan Lake you could say, okay, there are bits and pieces that you would say that's good Minkus, but it's bad Tchaikovsky. in Sleeping Beauty you could say, okay, this is this grand ballet. When you doing this in complete would take four hours and a half. And with this Nutcracker, you can feel it's his third ballet. It's on the first evening there was Yolanta, the opera was before.
Yes.
So it's not thought as a grand ballet, and now it's done in only one evening with one break. And from the first note where this overture is coming, like there are no basses, there are no celli, so it's like childhood. It's made for children, and it's very nostalgic in a way. He brought it back as a fairy tale for himself, getting back to his childhood.
Yes.
And you can feel this with this piece that it's, I would say, there can't be Christmas without Nutcracker.
Well, that's very true, because actually I go virtually every Christmas and watch it, and that takes me right back to my childhood, and I loved it when I was a small girl, and I love it still now. I mean, it's, as you say, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without it, and again, a tremendous score. I'd like to look ahead also to what you're doing in the new season, because there's some fascinating things that are coming up. I like the look of some of the contemporary work. There's a Christopher Wheeldon triple bill, isn't there? And I think there's a world premiere based on a John Singer Sargent painting. And there's music by Mark Anthony Turnage. Now, that sounds very interesting. Are you able to tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, what I can reveal from it, I think, is we have been working this summer quite intensely together also to make it happen. I think it's very difficult for composers, and I realized this more and more, writing for a narrative ballet, especially into the mind of a choreographer, it's completely the opposite, as I would say, for the opera. There you ask a composer to write, and he works together with the librettist. Here is a choreographer in his mind working with a text writer who asks then a composer to write music. And this opposite way, I must say, was the most intriguing process for me also to follow from the beginning of the summer to see how this is happening. And I think it will be a tremendous result, as at the moment both of them, they are really very happy with the result. The music is fantastic, and I think this will be one of the top bills coming.
It certainly sounds very, very exciting. Kuhn, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for downloading the podcast. The doors of the Culture Club will be closed next Sunday to make room for the ultimate Hall of Fame countdown over the bank holiday weekend.